This is Kendra Erica, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
And with that, hello everybody, and welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast as Mike serenades us into the new year. Mike, how are you? How was your Christmas?
Christmas wasn't that bad. It was kind of quiet in the morning. Then at night we went to the Botanical Gardens for the light show, and there was 8,000 people blocking traffic, so I had to do the whole "let me park here and pray I don't get my car towed" thing to get into the event.
Okay.
But it was a nice, fun evening. Had some fun chatting with some friends over the phone over the holiday. Family kind of ignored me, but
your family ignored you, huh?
Yeah, my parents called me, and we chatted for a little bit, and my brother has a summer home or winter home, whatever you want to call it, in Okeechobee, where they're at right now. And they're like, "Hey, Hank, you want to say hi to your brother?" And just from halfway across the room, he went, "Hey!"
Hey, Mike. My brother.
Yeah, and then my sister sent me a Facebook message, not a text, a Facebook message around 9:45 with "Merry Christmas" and 4 different Christmassy emojis.
At least she provided emojis. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Nothing says Christmas like emojis.
Yeah, and I don't think they're the front emojis, too. I feel she went through the list, and she's like, "No, this one, fourth one down, third row, that celebrates Christmas more. This wreath more tells my brother how I feel about him."
Oh, good, good, good. So I'm glad you... You had the family feel to Christmas that everyone expects to have on Christmas Day.
Yeah, when the holidays come, it's great for the family to tell you, "We acknowledge you exist still."
That's good. That's good.
Yeah,
I had a good Christmas. I got everything I wanted for Christmas. I got a new pair of headphones.
Ooh, they look nice and cushiony.
Yeah, they're good. They're like my other headphones. They were falling apart. In fact, I would have like little shrapnel on my ears after podcasting because they're all the foam was eating away. Mm-hmm. I got a new microphone, which you might hear now. I might sound...
What are you playing with?
Yeah, I'm playing with right now. And I also got COVID.
Huh. Why'd you put that on the list?
I don't know. It was like they were asking me, "What else do you want?" I just threw something on the bottom of the list, and
I keep hearing people getting it. It must be like a PS5.
Exactly. Yeah.
and it's a 19, so it's higher than PS5.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was. That's what it was. I was like, "Oh, everybody else has it. Everybody else is getting it. Why I got to be left out of this equation?" But what are we, almost 2 years. So we're like at a year and 10 months into this pandemic. And it got me. It got me. I'm assuming the Omicron variant took me down. Christmas Eve, I'm, of course, at like my whole family's house, probably 20 people or so, and feeling fine. By the end of the night, I started to notice my voice was going. Like, I was starting to lose my voice. So, like, this microphone might sound a little bass here in general, but I'm not usually this deep. I don't usually sound like... Luther Vandross on the microphone every week, in case you're tuning in just now. But
now, out of curiosity, was it that you had a test to go see family, or was it just literally, "This something don't feel right, let me go get tested"?
No, feeling perfectly fine. You know, I'm vaxxed up, so I didn't think seeing family was a big deal. Not feeling anything Christmas Eve during the day. Wasn't until about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I started losing my voice, and I'm like, you know, maybe that's just, maybe I'm talking too much or something. I don't know. And get home and just feel terrible. Just not like, hot flashes, kind of cold at times, could end in just completely wiped out. Wake up Christmas morning to put the presents under the tree for the kid and whatnot, and just throat is on fire and just exhausted. Like, got through the presents and just was like, I got to go to bed. But we have a friend who's in Germany right now, and she had a bunch. We have like a key to their house because they take care of, you know, like they live in the neighborhood. So if like they
and you like to steal,
yeah, and I like to steal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew they had a bunch of COVID tests at their house, so we were like, can we go and grab one? They're like, yeah, sure. Sure enough, swab the nose, do it, bang, line comes up immediately. I'm like, well, that explains it all. So completely knocked out on Christmas, like slept for like 5 hours, got up for two, and then went back to bed for like the rest of the night, feeling like crap. And then yesterday, kind of just head coldy and tired, and just waves, like waves of feeling crap. Like right now, I feel okay. But like things are, like I tried to do things around the house because I'm not going anywhere now for the next week or so or whatever it is.
Hmm.
And just like doing little things like sweeping and trying to clean the basement up, and just out of breath and just kind of like tired and lightheaded. So, but I'm I was actually very much looking forward to the podcast because it's like the only thing I've done in the last 3 days. So this better be good, Mike. You better have brought like, you know, the best content we possibly have.
So I want to go back to my sister not knowing Anne Rice was an author from last week. I got like a whole 45 minutes about that.
Oh, I guess we could address that too. Yeah, we had an episode recorded, and it was just one of those episodes where nothing was coming to us. We were talking about, what show were we talking about? Cocoon? Was it Cocoon?
Cocoon, the movie.
Yeah. We talked about Cocoon for like 20 minutes.
Don't you tell me you cut Cocoon.
Then we broke.
No, you did not.
Then we broke for a guest, and then, and then after that, we had absolutely nothing. Where we were just really trying to grasp at straws. I think it was like, do you like movies? Like, I don't quite remember what we ended on, but at one point, it was just like, this is terrible.
It was, you were asking what big movie would people be surprised you did not see?
I was giving
an answer, and basically when we stopped recording, you're like, I gotta be honest, I didn't even care what your answer was, no matter what you said.
Yeah. It was more like deflect onto Mike, see if he comes up with something, because I got nothing in the can. But we're back. We ended up nixing that and having a great Christmas episode. Mike, if you listened to the last episode, Mike is victorious and now the head elf of I don't know, he's throwing like gang symbols up right now.
Well, it's my way of saying I'm 2-4-2 in holiday games on this show.
It looked like you said I give the shocker to people that,
well, I mean, Scott, it could have dual meanings and all. I mean, the languages have been coming for years and centuries, so how you interpret it is up to you, my friend.
That's true. But we did end up having a great Christmas episode, and we're back here, I guess, with what will be the last episode of the podcast in general. Just we're done. But the last episode of the year here, and I'll try to get through it here. You might hear my voice getting deeper and deeper as I answer questions, but we're gonna muscle through it. I got a little bit of the sweat, but I'm marking my new microphone. I'm just spraying COVID into it. That's how you make sure no one else uses it.
Exactly. But and then when you do your show at Tap House 15, that's when you bring like the comedians that keep on begging you to do it and you can't stand them.
Exactly.
So that's when you bring that mic and it's like, no, seriously, 30 minutes. And I want you right up against the mic. I want you to do
can't
your
hear
best
you.
Stuff.
We can't hear you. Get closer to the mic.
You know what? Ronnie Dangerfield used to do a thing where he licked the mic beforehand to get him psyched up for the event. You should try that out.
Yeah. So, I'll get through it. Supposedly, this variant is a little lighter on people. I know... probably 10 people I know right now with it. It's just absolutely everywhere. I think this one I think is inevitable. Like, if you want to live any kind of life, you know, it's just everywhere. I don't know if it's as bad in Georgia, but in New Jersey, it's just absolutely crawling all wow. over everybody.
Georgia, we were the first ones to open up during the pandemic. So they're all out there just like, woo, whatever. Yeah. We got a new style down here. Would you be disappointed if you went to the doctor and he's like, yeah, it's Delta?
Ah.
It's like, no, that's so last year. Yeah. Come on, bro. And then they're going to make fun of me, my child. He's going to be ashamed of me.
Yeah, and it's like crazy because there's no test around anywhere. Like, you can't find that home test absolutely anywhere. Everyone's bought them all out. We've called a bunch of places because my wife somehow tested negative. And she was even feeling kind of crappy yesterday. And we're like, oh, okay, well, here it comes for her. And she took a second one that our friends gave us, and it was negative again. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's bad. I have one of our best friends. He was a close contact to somebody who tested positive.
Yeah.
So he took a test the day before Christmas, under 23rd, actually, before a couple days before Christmas. And you're supposed to get back in 12 hours. Never heard back from him, so he couldn't even, like, go out to his family because he couldn't get a confirmation if he had it or not. So.
Yeah. It sounds weird, but in some ways, I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's, like, not happy I have it, but I'm almost like, okay, well, if I get it, at least, you know, I got it and supposedly won't get it again for a little while. So I don't know. I guess there is a silver lining in it somehow, but...
I'm thinking nowadays people are just assuming it's kind of like how there's like a famous sporting event and every person you know is like, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
67 NFC championship, frozen tundra. Yeah, I was there, man. And I had great tickets. You know, I went there on a whim. You know, everybody's got the story.
Yeah. So I guess the silver lining is also like, I'm okay. I'm going to make it through. Like, I think for people like, who are relatively healthy and don't have many underlying conditions, you're going to get it. You'll be okay. It's just going to suck for a couple of days. Like, me and my one buddy got it at the exact same time, and we're, like, going through the exact – like, I keep asking him, how are you feeling? It's, like, the exact symptoms, and seems to be – we're doing the same thing. So, sorry. And don't worry, guys. You can't get COVID from listening to this episode. It's not – we did not spend the money for the interactive portion of the Podbean services they were offering.
I'm holding out for the canine corona.
Oh, itself. Yeah. Yeah,
if I'm going to get it, I'm going to be like, Scott, I was in a room with like 10 dogs and all. We were playing around, wrestling and all. Next day, I had the sniffles.
Listen, I was saying this before. If dogs and like children could get it really bad, everybody would have behaved and locked down the way they were supposed to. And maybe we could have killed this thing at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
wait, gerbils can get it? No, I ain't coming out. No.
Yeah, but you this know, my life, if your fellow man and the elderly can get it, no one really cares.
So. But I never liked people to begin with. That's why I do a podcast.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, if they were like, yeah, dogs, it's highly contagious among dogs. Everybody would be like, what are you doing going outside without a mat? Like, people would be very upset.
People would be out there with like shotguns and all, like, put it over your mouth.
yeah. All the super conservatives would be the ones enforcing it too, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
baby Jesus can get it. Get away.
But what are you gonna do? I'm alive, so Berlu, it's that time of year again.
Mm-hmm.
Last episode of the year, and now we do have like what, 3 days left in the year, so I hope we don't. Yeah. Well, why don't you explain what we got going on?
All right, so we have a little game we do every year and all. The unofficial name is, I call it God Complex and all. We basically have an NCAA tournament of all famous people who have died in the previous year, or in this case, this year. And we just have basically a tournament for Scott to decide which one celebrity comes out alive. You know, we have a whole ceremony. Little Richard was brought back to life thanks to Scott. And we have a whole thing where he passes over a key and then he officially dies after this. It's a beautiful thing. We got John Glenn, the astronaut, come back to life, beating out Kimbo Slice 1 year. We had beat out Tom Petty. So many amazing people who come back just because of verbal shenanigans. Scott, so, since the COVID hasn't taken over, you are not on the list this year.
Hopefully I'm. that would take a dark turn if I was podcasting and tomorrow just dead from COVID. That would be
Like, we really shouldn't have brought back New Jack. Yeah. We should have saved it for you, buddy.
So who did I brought? John Glenn, the astronaut. I brought Kimbo Slice back and Tom Petty?
No. It was between John Glenn and Kimbo Slice in the first one.
Oh.
And you picked John Glenn.
I might take that back. I miss Kimbo Slice.
I believe you took Prince over Tom Petty, or was it vice versa?
No, it was definitely Tom Petty. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you took Tom Petty over Prince. And last year, I don't know. I think it was Kobe. No. Kobe got eliminated before the final round. But I do know Little Richard was the one that advanced. One thing. Yeah. Like, you didn't even know that Little Richard died that year. And he won. Now, that's an upset. That's an NC State championship.
Maybe that's why I brought him back, because I had no time to process his death. So it was fresh during the bit.
But... I listen, you're like, what? No, he wins.
Yeah, well. All right. Number one, Kimbo Slice.
All right. So I basically break up like four different categories. I kind of like have a sports one, a music one, an acting one, and other one over here. My different brackets. And this year, on the side, in case you're like, I don't know who this person is, I got a couple of spare ones that we can flip in there just in case.
Okay.
So we don't have the, well, he advances because I have no clue what the other person is.
So you came prepared with extra dead people.
Yeah.
Good.
In fact, there wasn't enough, so I went outside with my shotgun and grabbed a couple. So I think they're popular. I don't know.
All right.
All right, Scott. You are ready. So I'm going to start off with the sports section right here. We are going to do with the one-time home run king, Hank Aaron, facing former Giants coach, Bronson Super Bowl, Jim Fossil.
Jim Fossil had some moments in the NFL. He was a decent Giants coach. Took him pretty far. Got blown out. But how do I pass on hammering Hank? Like, I feel like that'd be a sin to any sports fan. Like, you chose Jim Fossil over Hank Aaron, the home run leader, or the real home run leader, as some people will say. And from what it seems, just one of like the ambassadors of baseball, just was liked by everybody. So Fossil would be cool to talk about coaching, but to me, clear answer for first one is Hammer and Hank.
Yeah, I kind of looked at Fossil as the official 8 seed, if you will, where it's like I wasn't sure who I could have put out there, and I wasn't going to put a tough matchup right off the bat.
No.
Hank Aaron goes along. Speaking of coaches.
I completely forgot Jim Fossil died.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why we have this tournament, Scott. You know, like we said.
That's why we have this tournament, Scott, because your memory is terrible.
Exactly. next up, your father. No. Oh, yeah. I was wondering why I did last weekend. All right. Battle of the coaches here, Scott. A legendary college football coach, Bobby Bowden, versus legendary Major League Baseball manager, Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, man. Well, I know for college football fans, Bobby Bowden would probably be high up on the list of people you'd want to talk to. Was never a huge college football guy. Mm-hmm. I had my years where I followed Notre Dame. I got into it a couple years, but it never stuck with me like a lot of sports do. I've been a lifelong baseball fan, and like Tommy Lasorda just seemed like a character, seemed like a guy that probably had a bazillion stories. And one of those baseball names, you're like, okay, like it would be amazing just to talk to him. So I got to go Big Tom here.
I would let him advance just so we could have the interview where we bring back the San Diego Chicken and have him curse him out.
Oh, yeah. We interviewed the San Diego Chicken, for those who are wondering why the hell Mike brought that up.
Mm-hmm. I just randomly bring up people, random people. So, all right. Legendary wrestler at WrestleMania 1, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Okay.
Versus Hall of Fame linebacker for your Giants and my football team, Sam Huff.
Yeah, Paul doesn't do much for me. Like, I guess it would be cool to talk about WrestleMania 1, and I don't know much about his career after that.
He faced Mr. T, for God's sakes, bro.
Okay, okay. You're selling me a little bit. You're mm-hmm. selling me a little bit, but I don't know. Who's he up against?
Hall of Famer for the Giants and the football team, Sam Huff.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Sam Huff, I think, here, just because I think it'd be a cool tie-in. Being a Giants fan for the show, it would be cool, you know, since you're a Redskin fan. I mean, football team fan. Yeah. Let's go Sam Huff.
Okay. And final in the first round, Hall of Fame pitcher for the Dodgers, Don Sutton, versus legendary boxer, Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
To me, easy one. Don't know a ton about Sutton. You know, I know the name. Got to go Hagler. One of the all-time great boxers. People, like, revere him. Probably has some amazing stories. And if I'm allowed to bring him back, I'd probably bring him back, like, to where he's very with it still and didn't take, you know, CTE didn't take over his brain. But I'm going to go with Hagler. I'm going to bring Hagler back on that one.
That would be very sick of you to bring him back and bring him at that point. I would just like to point that out.
Thank you.
That'd be kind of sad.
Yeah.
But it's your turn, man. You do what you got to do. Okay. We got that round done with the sports. I'm going to go over to the acting side. It's on the other side of the bracket.
Acting. All right. Last year was a tough one. We had like Chadwick Boseman on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's start with this. Longtime actor, people love him, Ed Asner, against Screech from Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond.
Okay. Ed Asner would be an amazing interview, did some amazing things. But I feel like with the podcast, we often touch on nostalgia and things that we, like, watched as kids. We've done a lot of that, from the Ninja Turtles to the, you know, We've done so many different things over the years, Nickelodeon guests, and so I feel like Saved by the Bell was like a big part of a lot of our generation's childhood. So I'm gonna take Screech.
Ooh.
Plus, I'd like to hear.
Might have been upset.
Yeah. I'd like to hear about his demise and see what's going on. Plus, he had a lot of time left on this earth. You know, he should have had a lot of time left on this earth. So I'd bring him back and give him those years. Whereas Ed lived a nice long life.
91, he can't complain. Yeah. Okay. Well-known interviewer Larry King versus Michael K. Williams, who was in The Wire and Boardwalk Empire.
Yes. This one's a no-brainer for me. Yeah, I think it's give me the matchup again.
Larry King,
yeah,
famous CNN interviewer,
and
versus Michael K. Williams, who was Omar Little in The Wire. Yeah. He was also on Boardwalk Empire.
Amazing actor, but I think doing what we've done for the last 7-8 years or whatever it is, I got to go Larry King. Like we've interviewed so many people. He's interviewed everybody. He's almost like an original podcaster in a way. Did interviews with interesting people for basically 100 years. So I'm going to bring back Larry and get him on the show.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. He never prepared for interviews, much like most of our interviews. So that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
And think about it. Like, I could get rid of you and the Scott and Larry King show. The listeners would maybe double.
Yeah, and then he'd get rid of you, and then his numbers would double.
That's fine. That means maybe the old episodes would get some listens to. So.
And then we'll get back together in 2 years. Yeah. It'd be wonderful.
Exactly.
Okay. Longtime actor Ned Beatty, Deliverance, many different television shows. He was the voice of the villain Toy Story 3 versus the original Today Show weatherman Willard Scott.
Tough one here. No deep connection to either one. So my heart's not pulling in either way. But when you said that, I was thinking we've had a lot of actors on the show. We've talked to a lot of actors. I don't know if we've ever had a weatherman on the show. So write that down. We'll get one on.
So what's weather like?
What's the rain like? yeah, I'm going to save him. I'm going to save the weatherman.
Willard Scott.
Willard's right? Back. I remember him on like the Thanksgiving Day parades and whatnot. So yeah, I'll go with Willard Scott. Why not? Let's bring him back.
Okay. And then the final matchup for acting, Richard Donner, big time producer, Lethal Weapon films, Superman.
Okay.
Against maybe a favorite in these brackets, legendary comedian Norm MacDonald.
Norm. Next.
Yeah. I didn't know who I could set up where it'd be any question on that one, but
yeah, no, I mean, if you're a fan of comedy, Norm MacDonald was one of a kind. So, and I there wasn't a lot of interviews with Norm. Like it was like the late night stuff where it was like, you know, shtick and some jokes and stuff like that. But that, I don't recall too many like long form deep interviews where he talked about his life. So, Norm would definitely be very high up there for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's done some with Stern, but I don't think he never really went deep with him or David Letterman. So,
yeah,
that's a good call. All right. All right, let's move down to the music category, Scott. First one we got here, Greg Shock G. Jacobs. He was...
Yeah.
Lead singer for the Digital Underground. He brought us the Humpty Dance.
He did.
He's going up against Charlie Watts, the drummer for the Rolling Stones.
As much as I love Shock G, in fact, I remember a couple times trying to email him and trying to get him on the,
Ditto. The
podcast. How could one pass on an opportunity to interview or hang out with one of the Rolling Stones? I mean, that's like... You basically got the Beatles. The Stones are probably right underneath them as far as worldwide size of bands. You know, it's
yeah.
I can't. You could throw a couple arguments in there for.
They ain't getting out of the top five. But no, put it that way.
Exactly. Like yeah, you can debate a couple here and there, but as exactly top five easy the Stones. So, by far, I would take that. I mean. We almost had Mick Jagger's brother on the show this year, so maybe we can get that going in the new year. So maybe that's as close to Charlie Watts as I think we're going to get.
Okay. All right. Founding member of the Supremes, Mary Wilson, going up against the one of the original Monkees, Michael Nesmith.
This is a tough one, okay, because the Monkees were cool.
Mm-hmm.
They made some fun songs. They were kind of a little, you know.
TV show was running when I was a kid.
Gimmicky kind of Beatles things. But the Supremes, like, hold a pretty large place in kind of like Motown history and kind of beginnings of R&B and rock and roll. So this is a tough one, but I think for listenership-wise, I'm going to go with the Monkees. I'm going to go with Nesbitt, right? That's how you pronounce it?
Michael Nesmith, yeah.
I think I'm going to go with him. That was a tough one because I think there was a very evenly matched, and both would be, I think, very fascinating interviews or fascinating hangouts, if you will. So I think that was a very close matchup there. But I guess I'll go with the Monkees.
All right. So far, Kevin Grifo is still friends with you.
Yeah,
he's got to go all the way. Mm-hmm. All right. Founding father of Kool and the Gang.
Benjamin Franklin. Kool and the Gang. Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, he just died this year, Benjamin Franklin. He was sticking around.
Man, I got to check the news more often.
Dennis D.T., founding father of the Kool and the Gang, versus She's Just a Friend, the one and only Biz Markie.
I gotta go Bismarcky. I tried for like when we were really first starting. I tried so hard to get Bismarcky on the show, and I always thought he would have been one of the guys that said yes for some reason, and never got a response or whatnot. So I'm gonna loop back and bring Biz back for an interview here on Verbal Shenanigans. Yeah.
And if he doesn't respond back, and then we just throw him back and
yeah,
bring back Don Sutton for some reason. All right. Final one in music. DMX versus bassist for ZZ Top, Dusty Hill.
Wow. That's a power matchup right there.
Mm.
Now,
sometimes you get that 8 versus 9 where you're like, damn, both of these guys should be going on.
About 3 years ago, I took my dad to see John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater, two of the members, which we had on the show, original member, but they were with him. But anyway, and ZZ Top opened for them, and it was like, ah, man, that's pretty cool. I got to see ZZ Top. Now, I'm not a big ZZ Top fan. I think everybody likes, you know, those
sharp dressed man. Yeah, exactly. She's got legs.
Yeah, she got legs. And she knows how to
use them.
Yeah. The whole motif and the dancing. But how can I turn down the opportunity to bring back DMX? How can I turn down? Imagine him coming, you're listening to Verbal Shit. Like, DMX, like, everybody and their mother was listening to DMX at one point, like, when he came out, like, kids were losing their minds over DMX. Like, and he just was, I think he became a priest at one point, and I think he was a drug addict at another. I think his interview.
He was the original Kanye, basically.
I mean, you put Rough Riders Anthem on a barbecue, and people are still going, yes, yes. I don't know why everything I say goes back to a barbecue. Like, it's always like, you do this at a barbecue, and it's on.
Ballerina dancing? Yeah, man. You do that at a barbecue, man, those dogs go fast.
Speaking of dogs, I'm bringing DMX back.
Nice. All right. One last group we got here, Scott.
Dark Man X.
And I'm already just looking at some of these future matchups. I'm kind of intrigued by a couple of these. But
yeah, I was trying to think in my head, like, if there's a clear front runner in my head. And honestly, there's not. I might have one or two that I'm leaning towards, but it depends who they match up against. And if if you've listened to this bit before, I try to be brutally honest at each matchup, and we've lost people that, you know, they should have been the clear winners, and even Mike thought I would pick them, but sometimes there's a reason that pops up in my head in the moment that I get rid of somebody.
Yeah. As we said last year, Chadwick Boseman and Kobe Bryant, they got kicked out before the finals. So.
They did. A lot of times I base it on interview quality. I think of it as like a podcast or a show or like a documentary, and that always seems to win out. So I don't know.
Okay, others. Let's start off with a big time comedian, formerly on the Chappelle Show, Paul Mooney.
Oh man,
going up against Siegfried Fischbacher from Siegfried and Roy.
Oh, that's his last name.
Yeah, I understand why they just went by first names after hearing that. I'm like, really?
Yeah, interesting. The Fischbacher and Roy show never took off the way.
Is that a buffet? What is this?
Listen, as someone who dabbles in the world of comedy and really has been a fan of comedy for a very long time, Paul Mooney's one of those guys who was like around during Pryor and all that, and he's like an influence on, you know, he's on the Chappelle Show all the time. I mean, Siegfried would be really cool to talk to too, but I feel like it's limited. I feel like Paul Mooney would be like, every one of my peers who's in comedy would be like, no way did you get to talk to Paul Mooney. So I'm gonna have to get rid of Siegfried Fischbacher and go with Paul Mooney here.
Yeah, I might have Van Siegfried just to ask him about the last name. But, interesting enough, when Roy was on the tournament, he got eliminated in the first round as well. So neither of them got close.
What was Roy's last name?
I'll have to look it up. Yeah. I think something straightforward and all. Because you were like, who?
Roy,
and
I'm like, Roy Smith and Siegfried Fischbacher.
All right. Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. He is facing former U.S. Secretary of State, almost presidential candidate, Colin Powell.
I forgot Colin Powell died. Wow. I mean, the prince, he basically lived two lifetimes. Did you see that guy by the end of his life? I mean,
yeah, when he went 99, I think it was.
I feel like people would be pissed off if I brought him back. Like, really?
Well, thank you, Scott.
And they're like, that guy gets a second chance. He had a longer life than almost everyone.
He had a hard life, people. I mean, he never got anything in this world. Why? We got to bring him back.
Yeah, I got to bring back Colin Powell. We could talk about things that I know about. I don't know anything about Prince. What is it? Prince William, right?
Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the royal family. People like go nuts about it. My wife knows stuff about the royal family. I don't know anything. Whenever there's like the big ceremonies on, it'll be on sometimes. I'll be like, this is kind of interesting, but I don't get the whole hubbub, I guess that's a word, about them. So I'm going.
You'll just be bringing up your time you spent like a college trip in England. Did you ever go to this bar?
Yeah.
I lost my wallet there. If you did, can you check that back with them? I'm looking for something.
Yeah, I'm going Colin Powell here.
Okay. Conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh versus creator of Hustler magazine Larry Flint.
Wow. I feel like these two are hanging out right now. In heaven or hell. I feel like these guys would be boys.
Yeah, they're intertwined. Yeah.
Wow. Woof. This is a doozy here. Rush Limbaugh, maniac, said some crazy things. Was probably borderline racist. Said a few
maybe things. Maybe a tad past the borderline, but continue.
Larry Flint, he did fight for free speech and stuff like that. He was also kind of a bit of a lunatic. I think because of Rush's racist tendencies, I'm going to leave him in the grave and let Larry keep going. Because Larry, listen, he made a lot of teenage boys and college kids happy for a long time. So, and not in the creepy way.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's kind of funny, you know, that I think this is the second person you say I'm not bringing them because they're racist. I think it was Imus. He got eliminated in the first round.
Yeah, I feel like people would be like, you know, you brought back the Prince
Rush Limbaugh
and Rush Limbaugh.
Listen, he had the right matchups. He just kept going. I didn't know what to do. I'm sorry.
Listen, the Cowboys win every once in a while too. It's we don't like it, but you know.
All right, Scott. This might be the saddest matchup we have because this is the first time I could say this. This matchup is two former guests.
No.
Yes, we have a matchup of two former guests here in the tournament.
Wow, so we got them back on, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they have an opportunity to come back on the show.
Imagine that's like, okay, you're in heaven or hell or wherever you are, and they're like, look, this weird contest went on this podcast, and they were able to bring one of you back. You get to go back on the show, and they're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, they're both looking at each other like, I'm good. That one dude talked to you about dogs? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Can it be somebody from like MTV or something big? Maybe Kevin Hart can talk to us.
I know one of the guests, but I'm curious who the other one is.
Okay. First one is, I'll tell you the one you know, Gift of Gab.
Yep.
Blackalicious, Alphabet Aerobics.
Yep.
Episode 182 for all of our listeners.
That was our first. Also, conveniently, I don't know why I remember this, that was our first episode of that year for the new year that year. And I really, really love. I like that interview. He, interesting, like, enough, like, you could tell he was struggling a little bit health-wise during the interview. Like, he had, like, a coughing fit. We had to stop and, like, let him kind of, like, work it out. So I don't know how sick he was back then, but, yeah, it was a shame he died.
Yeah. And the second person, as I was researching possible people in the
Mike Ciccoli
brackets, he couldn't take it, Scott. He lost last week and couldn't take it.
You know, I haven't heard from him since last week, so I don't know.
And you did share a mic at one of the shows recently, so.
That's true.
That's true. Yes. Igor Volkovinsky,
oh,
Scott.
No.
The tallest person in the United States, episode 149. Very weird fact. Episode 149, if you go back to it, you can listen to the tallest man in the United States, the transgender battle rapper No Shame, and Susan Robin Kim Ward.
We had four guests on one show.
We had four guests on one show.
God, I only thought we did that like once or twice. God.
No, well, I mean, technically, Susan Robin Kim Ward were together, but yeah. So, yeah, he died of heart failure at the age of 38, Scott.
Oh, man. Like, he was always posting, like that he was not feeling healthy, and he seemed kind of like a depressed kind of individual.
Yeah, and I thought it was a nice grab to get for the show, because even at first they were kind of questioning, you're not bringing us on just to do 8,000 tall jokes. It's like, no, we want to hear your story. And the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a nice interview. I do remember it and all, and I felt good at that interview. I do recommend episode 149 also for No Shame as well. That was a good chat.
Yeah, that was back in our days where we were putting like two guests on, and I don't know how we had so much time. We just were piling guests into episodes.
Yeah, we put no thought into maybe we can save one to next week. Nope.
Yeah,
it out there.
We put no thought like, yeah, maybe this will be good for another episode and we don't have to just burn through content left and right. But, you know, you live and you learn.
So, Gift of Gab versus Igor Volkovinsky.
Yeah, this is hard because we talked to both of them. So this is a harder perspective. Okay. So Igor was a super nice guy. I felt like if I could have one of them back on, like if you were like next week, one of these guys is available without knowing they were dead. I would have been like, ooh, I don't know what to talk to Igor about again. Like it was kind of a one and done kind of interview. Whereas Gift of Gab, I could probably bring up a whole slew of other things and talk about the music industry and kind of what he's been up to. So I think I gotta go Gift of Gab here.
Yep. Totally understandable. Yep.
Yeah. It's like imagine we brought on the backwards runner again, who set the record for backwards running. It'd be like, they're bringing him on again. Be like, oh God, what the hell do we do the second time?
So is there any advancements in backwards running? Yeah. All right, we're done with the first round, Scotty. Wow. How are you feeling so far with these matchups? And
I feel pretty good. I felt like there wasn't one that was so hard yet where I was like had no answer for it. But I could see where some of these are going to go and get tougher. I don't think I have any regrets either. Like sometimes I think about it afterwards. I'm like, I should have brought that guy back instead. But it is all about the matchups. So
yeah.
I feel okay.
All right. So we're going to start with the left-hand side of the board. I'm going to go back to sports. And we got Hank Aaron versus Tommy Lasorda.
Monster. See, this is where right away.
Yeah.
Right away it gets hard. Okay. Tommy Lasorda, great coach. Great personality. But when you're talking about getting an opportunity to interview arguably the best player that ever played baseball, people put him in that category. You can throw him in the top five, top 10, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say number one. How could I pass up on that? The one guy coached those players. The other guy is one of those players. So I think it's very hard to turn that down. So I got to go with Hammering Hank on this one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I almost would lean towards Tommy sort of just, if you're doing podcast-wise, he'd probably be the most hilarious storyteller of all time.
But, yes, I know, but just saying, hey, I did an interview with Hank Aaron. Like, Hank,
oh, yeah.
Like, that name, listen, 100 years from now, people are going to be saying Hank Aaron. 100 years from now, I don't know if people are going to be, like, saying Tommy Lasorda. Like, they'll know him as much. Yep. So, got to go Hank.
Okay. Sam Huff versus Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
I feel like them fighting each other would be a good...
that would be nice, yeah. and we've already done a wrestling broadcast, so we'll know how to do play-by-play for that fight.
Yeah, yeah. One day what we're going to do is we're going to bring that... In fact, in the next couple... We're going to play that, and we're going to break down some of our... some of our great calls, and we're going to analyze our work. Remember when we analyzed my first comedy set of all time? It's going to feel it's going to feel just like that. It's going to hurt to listen to.
Yeah, we'll be like, I noticed how I said he punched him, and then we responded back with he punched him again. Because that was pretty much the matchup in our skills as well.
So. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Hagler on this one. Again, Huff was a giant. I didn't know, you know, a little before me, I guess, like when I really started paying attention. I think Hagler would just have better stories, possibly. Like, and fighters are really interesting people, so I'm going to go with Marvin Hagler.
Do not blame you on that. All right, going to music. Charlie Watts versus Mike Nesmith.
Yeah, this is where the monkeys are going to have to die for me. Monkeys were fun, I guess, you know, like, but Charlie
still won around. So we're not out of them yet. So.
Like Charlie Watts is like, to me, very similar to, Hank Aaron. Like you get to talk to one of the greats, one of the biggest of all time. Like, yeah, I gotta bring Charlie back.
Okay. This is going to be Biz Markie versus DMX.
Oh, my God. No. No.
Yeah. So, Scott, this is how the tourney works sometimes, man. I'm sorry.
All right. Biz Markie seemed like a really fun guy. Like, fun to be around. You know, Just a Friend is just a goofy, fun song. But DMX was intense and had some... I don't know. I feel like DMX... I think Biz Markie was done with his work in life. I don't think Biz Markie was coming out with another Just a Friend. Whereas,
I'm sure he brought out some other stuff. He's like, well, if Just a Friend worked.
Yeah. But I feel like DMX, like, he could still do things. Like, if he got put in songs with, like, today's rappers and, like, he still had some work to do and could have been relevant again. I'm going to bring back DMX on this one. Sorry, Biz.
Yeah, that's a tough one how it goes. Okay, we're done with round two over there. I'm going to start with the other side. I'm going to start at the bottom with Larry Flint versus Gift of Gab, as we argue about all the time.
Did you ever think that sentence would be said in real life? I get
all right, hear me out. You can bring back one guy. Is it Larry Flint or Gift of Gab?
Yeah, like sometimes I think like, you know, sometimes I do think about, like, I wonder if other people talk about the same things that I do, like when I have a ridiculous conversation. I know for a fact that's the first time the universe has ever heard that sentence. In however many million years the Earth is, that's the first time that sentence has ever been
heard. You don't think, like, in, like, the Harvard debate team, they show up and it's like, all right, you all think you're great debaters. Check this one out.
No. I'm pretty confident that did not happen. for stories alone, I got to bring back Larry Flynt. I think he's just got too many interesting things to talk about. Again, we're Gab, we covered a good amount of it, and I don't know. Yeah, I think Larry Flint's too big to let Gab go on.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm a little surprised by your selection, but I hear what you're saying.
I know.
And Paul Mooney versus Colin Powell.
Such an opposite spectrum here. Just for comedy's sake, I'm bringing back Paul Mooney. I don't really know anything about politics, so like if you were like we got Colin Powell coming on, I would be like, oh yeah, okay, I got to do some research for next week's episode. Whereas Paul Mooney, I feel like we'd probably get along much better, and he'd be probably more fun to chat with. Colin Powell seemed like a little bit of stiff, so
a little dry. Yeah, gotcha. All right, and with that done, we're going up to acting TV. Larry King versus Screech, Dustin Diamond.
All right, Screech has come to an end. I just think Larry King would be fun to talk to, man. I don't know. Like, he just talked to everybody for like 100 years straight. Screech, how much could we get more out of Screech? I mean, it wasn't like we lost a saint there. Larry King, didn't Larry King have like 8 wives and like, so yeah, I'm going to bring back Larry. Larry can get another like 100 year run.
Yeah, why not? And in the, I don't even know why I'm saying this out loud, but I will give you the matchup, Norm MacDonald versus Willard Scott. Now, keep in mind, you said we have never done a weatherman before. You make your answer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Norm's got to come back here. I'm sorry, Willard. It's just too interesting of a man to there was so much more. And funny enough, I was supposed to, my friends got tickets for us to go see Norm MacDonald in November. Yep. And he died 3 weeks before the show. Norm, too interesting. Such an onion of a man, if you will. Like, many layers to him, you know.
Easily.
So I gotta let the weatherman go.
All right. Lead eight, Scott. Lead eight.
So let me ask you, what have you disagreed with me upon? Like, are there any upsets that you've seen so far that you were surprised by?
I'm looking at the list. I'm a little surprised Marvin Hagler is a little higher than I figure. I thought he could have been a first-round casualty.
Okay.
Maybe Ed Asner would have stuck around if I didn't put him with Dustin Diamond. But right. Like I said, when Gift of Gab, that it makes sense, but I figured he would have got at least one more round.
Okay, all right.
But nothing earth-shattering here. Like last year, like you said, when I started seeing you lean towards Little Richard, I was like, whoa.
or were you like, woo! All right. I'm dying of COVID. Hold on. Okay.
All right. Scott, we're in the Elite Eight, so we're down to our final matchups in each grouping here.
All right.
We are going to start with sports. Hammer and Hank Aaron versus Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
All right, yeah, pretty easy one here for me. This is where Hagler goes. Hammer and Hank moves on. Too big of a name, too big of an icon. No-brainer matchup for me. I keep thinking of almost each round as an episode of the podcast. Like, could I have Hank on again? Could I have him on again? You know, as he advances. Mm-hmm. Like, So I got to get rid of Hagler here. Hank, you're in the mix.
All right. Drummer Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones versus X Gonna Get It to You, DMX.
Power matchup here again.
Mm. Sometimes they're very easy. Sometimes it's like, whoa.
New Jack never made it into the tournament, did he?
I was going to add him, but I mean, like, when I brought up his death, you were literally like, this guy not making him pass the first round. Like, he was on the list of, if you were like, who the hell is that person? It's like, all right, New Jack's going to go in his spot.
New Jack, he's a person that doesn't deserve to be brought back.
He's kind of scummy.
Yeah.
Kind of scummy.
His
tried to kill a couple people.
Yeah. Stab people. Anyway. As much as the Rolling Stones are the biggest possibly band ever, Charlie Watts would be amazing. I still find the opportunity to talk to DMX and bring him back and see what DMX would do. I'm going to get rid of Charlie and keep DMX in this tournament. DMX is my answer.
Makes sense. I think, like, if you brought him on four different times, every interview would be equally insane.
Exactly, yeah.
It makes me think back to when I sent you the tweet from Lenny Dykstra who said, guess who hasn't been in jail in, like, 4 months? And it's like, well, got to give him a golf clap for that. Okay. Paul Mooney versus Larry Flint.
Now, this is an interesting one because I would be disingenuous if I didn't say, like, I don't know a lot of Paul Mooney's work. I just know of what an influence he was on people, and I know he was around during all the big bangs of comedy and whatnot. Also, Larry Flint, does this guy deserve to be brought back to life? Am I bringing back a good person? Am I using my power of God for good? Or am I just bringing it back because it would be an interesting interview and self-serving?
Yeah. These are the tough decisions. That's why we made this game.
Yeah.
That and it feels like an hour.
So. I'm going to get rid of Larry Flint.
Wow.
Yes. I feel like because I'm saying I don't know a bunch of Paul Mooney stuff, like, it almost makes me want to get into it and see more of what he did and why he was such an influence on people. So, like, almost like a learning experience. I'm going to bring Paul Mooney back.
Okay. Acting TV, Norm MacDonald versus Larry King.
Okay. Larry had way too much time on this earth, whereas Norm did not have enough time. So both amazingly interesting people and did a lot of stuff, but I got to bring Norm MacDonald back. Got to bring him back. He had more to do.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, I guess Larry, we could dive into more with him, with, like, all his different interviews. Norm, if we got the sheltered Norm, it'd be the same bit, but he's still entertaining. I get it. Okay.
No.
So we got our final four, Scott. How are you feeling about Hank Aaron, Norm MacDonald, Paul Mooney, and DMX?
I feel pretty good. It's quite a interesting final four, as usual. I can make an argument probably for three of these guys. One in my head is going to go in this round pretty quickly. So.
I got a feeling who it is.
But, yeah.
Okay. But let's not go with the easy one. Let's go with the hard one, Scott. Hank Aaron versus DMX.
Brutal. Brutal matchup. Oh my God. Do I sit here and say, no brainer, Hank Aaron's got to be on. He's the best baseball player of all time. You're going to have a chance to talk to him or bring him back. Or do I go with the outrageousness of DMX, how interesting it would be to kind of pick his brain I'm also assuming I bring them back, I get to like talk to them a little bit before they just like.
Yeah,
they just go off.
In this game, it's your decision why you bring them back or what the rules are for bringing.
Well, because it would suck if I brought back one of them and they're like, "All right, later," like, and that was it. Like,
yeah. Come on, man. Yeah, I brought you back to life. I mean, hell, it's why Kimbo Slice almost came back, because it was just the saying the insanity of having him on the podcast would be amazing.
Yeah. All right, I can't believe I'm doing this, but okay. I'm sticking with just the flow in my head of thinking about the insanity and the fun and I can't believe you got. I'm gonna get rid of Hank Aaron, and I'm keeping DMX around, which I did not see coming. but the more I think about it, the more I want DMX on the show now. Like, if you were like, next week I got the biggest guest and you sent me like a picture of DMX in our chat, I'd be like, oh my God. And I think interview wise, the more fun listen is going to be the DMX one than the Hank Aaron one. So,
obviously,
I'm going DMX.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Hank. I'm sorry.
Yep. And while we're saying sorry, I will announce sorry to Paul Mooney as he faces Norm MacDonald.
Sorry, Paul. Mike is absolutely correct on this. Norm's got to make it to the finals. I really respected Norm. One of the few celebrity deaths that, like, I was kind of bummed about this year. Like, ah, man, I felt that with Tom Petty. I was bummed about. Felt that with Chadwick Boseman. That bummed me out. There's a couple along the way that I'm always like, ah, that really stinks. But, yeah, I'm sorry, Paul Mooney. This is where your ride ends.
Hell of a ride to get here, Scott. We've had some very quick answers. We had some fun matchups. We had some very weird matchups. Before we go to the finals, I will have honorable mentions for people we thought about putting on here. Popeil, the infomercial, the guy who's known for Sell It and Forget It and popularized the phrase, but wait, there's more.
Right.
There was Senator Bob Dole, presidential candidate. There was NBA Hall of Famer Elgin Baylor.
Wow.
There was Demaryius Thomas, the Denver Broncos wide receiver who won the Super Bowl. He caught that big pass from Tim Tebow in the playoffs. Thought about him. Bobby Unser, four-time Indy 500 winner. Jackie Mason, legendary comedian. New Jack, who you basically told me would never made it past the first round.
I might have kept New Jack. I don't know. He would have been interesting. Depending who he faced against.
Yeah. Michael Collins. He was the pilot of the Apollo 11 mission. I thought about putting him in there.
Solid.
F. Lee Bailey.
He would have lost just because I already had an astronaut. I'd be like, you're out of here.
Yeah, exactly. F. Lee Bailey, OJ's lawyer. OJ, who's now 100% scot-free person. G. Gordon Liddy, the FBI agent who organized the break-in at Watergate. Charles Grodin, Midnight Run, Beethoven movies, late-night host. Some of the people I thought about putting on here, but I think I had some good matchups this year. But it all comes down to this, Scott. Kind of like the old celebrity death match MTV. You probably would never thought in your life you would have to contemplate this question. But, Scott, who would you rather bring back? Is it DMX or is it Norm MacDonald?
Now, Norm MacDonald's death bummed me out. Did not like that. DMX's death came as a surprise, you always picture him as kind of like a young guy rocking the Woodstock stage and the overalls. And Norm just seemed like a walking conundrum. Like you couldn't quite figure him out. So there's a lot of mystery to Norm MacDonald.
But that kind of adds to the question because, I mean, think about it. If you brought DMX on the podcast, 95% chance you're going to get some crazy stuff right there.
Right.
You bring Norm on there, again, obviously a great comedian, but you're not going to get any layers with him unless you're super lucky.
Yeah. I have my decision. And I'm going to roll this emotion that I've had through the tournament that kind of struck me. And if I would have read them on paper, I probably may not have picked him right away. But the idea of having DMX on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast is really enticing. So, unfortunately, I have to say goodbye to the one and only Mr. Norm MacDonald, and I can't believe I'm doing that.
2 years in a row going in, you probably didn't think the answer about what was going to be, who ended up winning. 2 years in a row.
Yep.
DMX coming back for the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
DMX is alive and well, and he's welcome with open arms to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Yeah, I don't know. It just something about him just charmed me, and I wanted him on the show as we kept talking about it. So, yeah, DMX is now joined with John Glenn and
Little Richard and Tom Petty.
Little Richard, Tom Petty. Quite a group we have there. So yeah, I'm sticking with my answer, and that is DMX.
Woo! all right, and here's the interview.
Now, did you have a winner in mind when you were making the tournament?
I probably would have went with Norm.
Yeah.
I like at first when I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure who you would pick. Then I kind of re-reviewed and like, all right, maybe Norm, considering everything, had a pretty easy go of it. But, I like DMX's work, but I wasn't, like, into DMX and all. I would have been surprised if you gave me this tournament, I might have went with Dusty Hill right in round one.
Wow.
Over him.
Wow,
so,
wow. All right.
But, nothing... I mean, the final was a little shocking to me.
Yeah.
Most part, the tournament went its way.
It was shocking to me, too. I just go with what thought comes to my mind as the tournament's going. But, all right. Well, another one in the books. And hopefully there will be no one next year. That's what we're supposed to say, right? There won't be any deaths this year.
And good news, if your favorite celebrity dies in the next 4 days, we'll put them on next year's tournament. Don't worry, people.
Yeah. I think last year had like Eddie Van Halen, I think, too. And like, So, all right. Well, that's our yearly tournament. We're going to get to a guest here to kind of end the show because our tournament lasted about an hour. So, we have a musician coming on the show. She's very, she's into play work, she's into songwriting. She's got a couple pop singles out there right now, and she's started to come up and blow up, if you will. So without further ado, here's the very talented Miss Kendra Erica on the show.
Hello.
Kendra. Hello. Erica. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I don't know why. I don't really know why I just did like a robot introduction, but it felt right at the moment. So I just went with it.
It really did because, you know, I'm all about the future. So
I enjoyed how it came in as like your magazine cover photo almost before you popped in on video.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me and Mike's magazine photos pop up, but it's like mugshots, but you know.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, magazine or a magazine or mugshot, whichever works.
Whatever works. Kendra, thank you for adding to the redheads we've had on the show. It makes me feel, you know, like we have a nice group of inclusionary group here. So thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here.
I know. Isn't that weird, like, with podcasts and doing things over the web? It's like you meet all these amazing people, but you're never actually, like, in the same room as them. Like, we could be passing by each other every day. We might never see each other.
I know. However, I think the Brady Bunch intro has been working for like the past I don't know like year and a half, but at the same time there's nothing like being in person. Like, that's just unmatched.
No.
Well, it's funny.
It's just unmatched.
It's funny. 3 minutes before this call started, I just finished a virtual comedy show, which...
Oh, I love those. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been all right. And, like, if you would have asked me a year and 8 months ago or whatever it's been, can we do a virtual comedy show, I would say no. But, like, over the months, we've gotten hired by these companies to do it for, like, happy hours and Christmas party, whatever it is, come in for 40 minutes. And, like, now I it's weird. I think it's, like, something that can stay in the future as form. It's like a mild form of entertainment. And it's weird because you get off the call or whatever, and you get that adrenaline rush of, like, performing live, quote-unquote. But then there's, like, no one to talk to. Like, you're in your living room. Like, there's that weird, like, you know, in person, you come off stage, you talk to the other comics, you maybe grab a beer, whatever it is that gets you, like, down after performing. There is none of that at home.
There's no, like, social element to it. I mean, I have more than a handful of comedian friends, mostly out in Los Angeles. But during the apex of whatever it is that we were going through, whatever you want to categorize it as, they, in order to keep their activity and their visibility flowing, they would have virtual comedy shows. And just watching them and being an audience member, like I could relate, because I was also doing live streams, because in order to keep my visibility up, I was doing my live shows, live streams, and I would be like, thank you at the end of a song. just like waiting to hear that
roar, you know, that applause.
Then the awkwardness of, oh, I forgot to unmute you all.
I was waiting to hear that call and response. But at the same time, thankfully a couple weeks ago I was in LA and I did a show at Los Globos in Silver Lake, and for an event called Tiger Heat, because Los Globos is a co-ed club, but Thursday night is their gay night, their LGBTQ night.
Yeah.
So, and I've been a super advocate for that community, and just energetically, it was just off the wall. It was just off the chain, like, because everyone's just so ready to be back into that.
Oh my God. Like, I've told the story to a couple of, you know, we've had a lot of artists on over the last year, and when, you know, comics, musicians, whatever.
Yeah.
And the first comedy show back live that I did, I was just hosting, and it probably took 15 minutes for the crowd to, like, realize, like music's a little different because it's a vibe. You can kind of talk through it sometimes, but, like, The comedy was like, I might as well have not been up there, because, like, people were at their tables like, what did you order? Like, it was probably their first time out, and it was, like, an amazing – it was terrible on stage, but it was kind of amazing to see, like, people kind of assimilate back to, like, coming out and viewing art and being like, oh, yeah, we got to be, like, quiet and attentive and watch, and their attentiveness is what adds to the comedy. But, like, the first 15 minutes was, like, a free-for-all. It was really interesting to experience. But enough about us, and I'm sorry for the weird intro. That's Mike, and I'm Scott. So thank you, Kendra, for giving us a few minutes on the show here.
It's okay. Your friend is good in my book.
So I guess since we kind of brought it up, we might as well start as an artist, as a musician, as a performer. Like, you know, you're gaining some heat, like, right before the pandemic happens. How did you use the pandemic and the time off and kind of the quarantine and you know, isolation for you as an artist? Were you someone who thrived in it, like, was able to write and perform, or were you, like, someone who completely suffered from it?
I think it's a pie of all sorts. you know, like different slices of the effects. But most importantly, I knew that this was a very odd and historically not like this has never really happened where we've gone on total lockdown. So for me, I realized that and I was like, this is such a unique time in our inner history. And being that, you know, I am a self-proclaimed unique person. I'd like to think that I am. So I wanted to take that uniqueness of this worldly circumstance and then align it with myself and how I can maximize on that uniqueness. And so with that being said, I didn't let anything really slow me down because I didn't want to, well, for the sake of, you know, my parents always told me when things get deep, dig deeper. And then when things get tough, like get stronger, get, you know, get moving. So I continued the momentum because I didn't want to let anything really get in the way or impede me in such a way that I just would, you know, cave. But, and also having that pause and that reflection time was super vital because I feel, and I was actually having a conversation with my parents over dinner one night, and we were all just having philosophical conversations. And so my dad and I agreed that like pre-pandemic, everything was just so like overly gluttonous. Like there was this and that, and it's just like everyone was focused on all the wrong kind of things. When the pandemic hit, people then focused back on, you know, their what really mattered, which is like their health. You know, making sure that their rights and their freedoms are maintained and you know, repossessed, and also just their family and their friend and their friends. So just a lot of that noise had to die so the music could, you know, come alive. So but at the same time, like, you know, a year just like everyone else, because no one is really immune to the effects, whether that be health or whether that be, you know, in career or in this aspect, no one was really like immune to this. Like it affected everyone.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just like everyone else. Like I had a year and a half or almost 2 years stolen from me.
Yep.
I'm like, right now I'm using how pissed off I am as like fuel and fuel, fire to like get, like, I can't now. I'm so like zoned in with what I'm doing. Like I don't want to skip a beat. I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss that. Like it's almost like you're making up for lost time. So, and I feel like everyone else is either on that same page or they're just, you know, they're just drifting and doing, you know, being like, oh, so this is happening. Oh, and this is happening. But no, like I know what's going on and I'm using all of this as ammo. So.
Let's take it back to your early days. For what I've read up, you were born tone deaf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of curious, like, as you're trying to train to be a singer, like, what is involved when you have that in front of you? Is it, do you get over it? Is it kind of like almost muscle memory to know where to pitch your voice? How do you kind of, like, move your dream from the beginning?
You know, I really wish I had a really like technical memory of it. But the thing is that I was young when I was, you know, straightened out. So how that all process, it's like a proverbial sponge, you know, when you're at that age, you're able to absorb a lot of what you're being, what you're being instructed in and taught. So I guess like in a dimensional way, or in like a metaphysical way, everything just like sort of added up. But for me, it took a brute of a German opera singer who really laid a foundation for me vocally and brought a voice out that was sort of you know, uncovered.
Yeah. So what was your background musically? Were you a kid who was into singing? Were you a kid who picked up the piano? Were you like, what was your background growing up?
I would put on shows for my parents in their living room whenever they would have their dinner parties with their friends. And so like, I always knew that I wanted to entertain and I wanted to give people an experience. And, but the fact that I was tone deaf, you know, that's what motivated them to get me set up with vocal lessons and to straighten me out so that, you know, I wouldn't like embarrass myself really. But like, this is just something that I always wanted to do. And I don't really think I'm naturally gifted at the vocal quality aspect, but I do feel like my mind is my gift, as well as more importantly, my heart. But the thing is that I see things very differently, and I just feel that the real gift is just like the ability to overcome obstacles and to manifest and to make things happen.
Right.
So that's where I think that the real gift lies in that proportion.
Did you know what kind of, I mean, being a unique soul, did you have an idea where you wanted to like kind of push your career, as in what style of music? Because for what it, like you released this year, was it Song of Hope, which Song is like Hope, it was like a light, almost gospel. You've been a number one Billboard on the dance chart. I saw a video where you were doing Phantom of the Opera. Do you have an idea of like which area you wanted to like concentrate on when you started?
It's been a process of evolution for me, because initially being that the influences of my time were the, you know, the Britneys and Christinas and Madonnas. So at that point, I wanted to be that sort of act and an entertainer. However, throughout my journey, that transformed into more of that jazz sound, and then from there it then morphed into a Lana Del Rey aspect and aesthetic, and then from I've told this story so many times, so like I get like so I get I'm like, okay, so where are we now? And now it's been taken in a direction that I've always wanted it to go into, but there's more of like a maturity aspect to it, and also the fact that the vocal ability just keeps on getting stronger and challenged and expanded. So going in that dance route, but also having elements of Broadway, having elements of jazz. I mean, at this point, the limitations are non-existent. So
what is it like? So for people who aren't familiar with you and might be hearing this for the first time, what can they expect from you when we come to see a live show? Because you have a lot of influences from straight up pop to theater to jazz, like you said. So what would a Kendra, like Erica, show look like?
That, my friend, is yet to be experienced. I can't really say what it'll look like, because then I'm giving away all my cards at this point. So, and then I just let the lightning strike and the moment strike, and then have people take it. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you find it easier or harder to kind of, as you want to experiment with stuff? Is it easier or harder to try to do new things when you're dealing with all these different producers and having success, like we talked about with dance music and so forth? Do they try to pigeonhole you, or do you feel like the people you work with is allowing you to expand and get new things out there?
So I've had my fair share of individuals that have tried to pigeonhole me, and listen, I fought back, and I can only just say that the one still climbing the mountain is myself, because when you just allow an artist to be an artist, when you just allow for someone to make those authentic decisions for themselves, only the artist really knows what's good for them and what is going to click. That's why you put your trust in artists to influence and to make a difference and to change worlds, because we have that innate ability. When you try to box someone in, it's a recipe for a wild thing to go. If you want to see a wild thing go really wild, try to box an artist in.
yeah.
So, but with working with the producers that I've worked with, a lot of them have fortunately seen me for who I am, and they've only wanted to enhance what I have to bring to the table. So God has really introduced me to a wide spectrum of people that have either shown me their interest in this capacity or in that capacity. And so therefore I've been able to really get a good sense of where I want to go directionally, from having experienced those collaborations and that exchange. So
tell us about the album you recorded and kind of the process of that and what it is and where people could kind of check it out.
So the album is still in the works, and it's still being worked on. It's still ruminating. And at this point, I'm like, do I really want to release an album or just keep going single by single? Because what I've noticed is that when you put out single after single after single, it just shows like more of a spark, you know? Mm-hmm. But because however the album comes to be, that's how it comes to be. But for now, I just keep on telling people to stay vigilant for what's to come next year. So
it's kind of interesting, right? Like an artist now, like when we were kids, like we can get the tapes of singles, and that was like a big thing. And then like CDs came, we kind of didn't care about the single anymore. And now it's streaming singles, like you can be a relevant artist almost every month. You could put out whatever you're working on if you really want. Yeah. So it's kind of a – and I'm a guy who loves a full album, but I also love, like, hearing content from my favorite artists. So it is kind of like a balancing act, I guess, like what you kind of want to do.
Yeah, it is. And with everything moving so I don't even want to say quickly, but we're moving in times that are just, you know, unpredictable right now. Like anything can happen. So just learning to surf the waves of that, and to always make sure that you're ahead of the waves is, you know, that's all that you can do. And in order to be ahead of the waves, you have to remain who you are.
Right.
Because how you're made up is how you're made up, and that's what's more divine than anything else.
If you wanted to introduce somebody to who you are, what would you say would be your favorite song that you've done, the most work that you had to do on a song, and maybe the most fun song that you feel you have?
Well, they all have their own identities and their own individual messages and points of influence. I don't know how to really answer that question, because it's so broad. It's so broad. I'm like, which it's like if you ask me who's your favorite cat, I mean, like, I have two, but like both of them, like, I can't, yeah. Like, I don't want to get my eyes scratched.
Tell us now, who's your favorite cat? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to keep the peace here in my house.
Kendra, like, it's really awesome to talk to you. You got a lot of really cool things kind of, I guess, coming up and a lot to look forward to. So if people want to check you out or start to get into your music or start to follow you, where's the best place for them to go?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kendra Erica, facebook.com/KendraEricaMusic, Twitter at Kendra Erica, TikTok at Kendra Erica. And if anything, just Google me.
Awesome. Kendra, we wish you the best of luck with the album coming out eventually, maybe getting back out on the road as all this stuff opens up. And
road again. We have to.
Yep. Yeah. You have a lot of talent, so I hope they all come to fruition for you. And we thank you for your time here on the show.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
Take care.
All right. Kendra, Erica on the show. I can't tell if she's privileged to be the last guest of the year or the first guest of the new year. I have to see exactly when this episode comes out. So she might be both. She might be both. If I put it up on midnight,
as the ball is dropping, you're just there on the return key. Come on.
Yep.
Come on. And then the wife distracts you. No.
Well, anyway, people, so we will we'll be back here in the new year with a whole bunch more episodes, a whole bunch more guests. If you guys ever have recommendations for guests, please reach on out and we'll hook it up, as long as they're as long as they're interesting. Well, even if not, maybe we'll bring them on too. But I guess we're just gonna promote ourselves before we go. We're on a whole bunch of different listening platforms. We're on a whole bunch of places to check us out. So please, first thing you can do, you could just type in Verbal Shenanigans into Google and you'll find a whole bunch of them. We are now on Google Play. We are now on Spotify. We are now on
Amazon.
Amazon. We're pretty much everywhere you could find podcasts, and we're on a bunch of independent radio stations, so please.
Yeah, Podcast City Network, Helium Radio, Radio Sharks. list goes on and on.
Yeah, a lot of places to listen. But the best thing you can do is, one, follow us on social media. And then, two, if you leave little reviews in iTunes or wherever you can rate a podcast, that helps with the, you know, getting the podcast populated and interact with us. We love it. We had a lot of interaction this year, and we had people making shirts. We just had one of our listeners make a shirt and put something about our eggnog conversation on it from the couple episodes ago, where Mike, not the last episode when Mike took down a whole thing of nog, but when he talked about his nog love. Yep. So
yeah,
the fans are out there.
Go back to the last episode and listen to my chugging, people, and all. It's pretty epic.
Yeah. So please listen to us, and we will greatly appreciate it. Anything else, Mike, before we go?
I look forward to getting your old voice back in the new year, Scotty.
Yeah, old voice might come back. If not, this is the new, deeper, sexier Scott on the show. So, other than that, guys, life is funny. I laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. I love you, DMX.
Smell you later. Oh, sorry, not to throw in your face, Scott. Thank you.